You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
Hey, El Paso, this is Evan Cohen, and now it's your turn to sound off on the UTEP game. Minor Talk with Adrian and Sal coming up next, 600 ESPN El Paso.
Welcome in. We are here and we are live. Minor Talk presented by Jack in the Box. Along with Sal Montes, George Guardado, we have, of course, Alberto Retta. I'm Adrian Broaddus. It's a four-team group in our River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios here tonight. And Sam Houston rolls over UTEP tonight, 41-21. Let's not waste any time. Let's open up the phone lines, 915-505-6009. Chris from Inspo Lens is back. We are live on Twitter and X. We are live on YouTube. We are live on Facebook. And thanks to Inspo Lens for delivering that asset and that part of us here on Minor Talk tonight. It is a late night. We are about 10 minutes away from midnight. And Sal, we are talking about one of the worst home losses I can remember in a long time by this UTEP football program. That's just how I would start this off. This is one of the worst losses I can remember, maybe since that UTSA game when UTSA came to town, and you know there was a lot of hype around that game, and UTSA ended up distancing themselves in the end when it was all said and done. You could look back today. I did the research. Southern Miss defeating UTEP, I think it was 39-7 in 2018. That was the year they went 1-11. Sal, where UTEP is at right now is they lack an identity on offense. They're frustrating as hell to watch on offense. Defensively, yeah, they hung in at points, but then they got worn down, and it was a far superior team. You look at Sam Houston, far superior team in this matchup right here, and I just leave this one utterly disappointed in UTEP football at 0-5.
Yeah, this is definitely a disappointing loss, especially after the hype was high after going to the Mountain West. And we said this on the, or we were talking about this rather, on the emergency Minor Talk episode. How does UTEP continue to reel in the fans when the football team is not producing? And this game, it's not the same. Obviously, the opponent was far superior, but it's given me flashes of when Army came into the Sun Bowl and just spanked UTEP all over. They're like, we have Fort Bliss. What do you guys have? It was 66-14. That was the final. It was 24-0 at the half. Then they put up 28 in the third, 14 in the fourth, wind up winning 66-14. Ironically enough, 66, a special number in El Paso. They did that. But, yeah, that's almost a decade ago.
So the Army game, that's a good one because that one was a pretty brutal loss as well, Sal. I like that one as far as possible references. Maybe one of the worst home losses out there. But we could just talk about it on air. 915-505-6009. Send it our way. Send us your thoughts at 600 ESPN El Paso on our free mobile app. You could also chat with us on YouTube, chat with us on our app. You could also even call or message in on our YouTube stream as well with any thoughts here moving forward. We got Alberto Retta in the house. We got George Guardado in the house as well. Let's start with you, Alberto. You give us your thoughts on this one. Brutal loss for the Miners. 41-21 is the finish.
Yes, extremely brutal, only 119 rush yards, and that's really kind of putting it together, right? And that's kind of figuring it out, 204 pass yards, that all in the second half. That's really when you get going, right? For the Miners, they get going in the second half. But to me, what jumps off the page is the 12 penalties, right? 12 penalties for 120 yards, that after you only have two against Liberty for 25 yards. So there's just that drastic change that to me is impressive, and it makes me scratch my head. It makes me curious as to what's happening and what's to come. Hey, and like you said, you speak on the defense. Yeah, you definitely it keeps you in the game. You know, you keep them what seven of 17 on third downs. But yeah, when you're not scoring as many points, and especially not in the first quarter, Yeah, you're not going to win many football games.
So first half totals, Sam Houston outgained UTEP 263-70. Second half, UTEP finished up in this one. It was 1 of 6 on third down. UTEP was 1 of 6 on third down on their side in the second half. So when it mattered in the second half, when they were trying to come back, it was just playing, you know, in garbage time, basically. That's when they were scoring those points late in the game, George. When I look at this UTEP football team right now, I just don't think they're as talented. I don't think they have the roster to keep up with some of these other teams like what we're seeing right here in Conference USA.
Yeah, Adrian, I have to agree. But at the same time, I really think it's fair to hold Scotty Walden accountable. I mean, the hallmarks of poorly coached teams are penalties, right? Fundamentals, like holding onto the ball. 3 fumbles, 2 of them were lost. And, you know, like red zone stuff. And we couldn't score in the red zone at all. We've struggled at it all year. And this game was just another microcosm. Like Alberto said, 12 penalties, 120 yards. That's just killer.
Yeah, and one of the things I look at right off the bat when it comes to the points, UTEP right now against FBS opponents, they're averaging less than 13 points a game. Against all their opponents right now on the season as a whole, they're averaging right around 15.8 points per game. It's not going to win you games. That's just over a touch or 2 touchdowns right there. And to me, that's disappointing on the offensive side. Now, I know it's just 5 games in. I know this is a rebuild. I know this is a reconstructed roster. I get all of that. So with that, I have some kind of leniencies. I'm not saying doom and gloom. I'm not saying the sky is falling with this coaching staff. I'm just disappointed. I thought offensively this team would be further along at this point, but they're still searching for an identity. And then defensively, while there are moments, the penalties are going to frustrate you. The shortcomings are going to frustrate you as well. Back to the phones. Let's do it. Let's open it up. 915-505-6009. You want to talk about it? Sam Houston dominates UTEP tonight, 41-21. Let's get it started. David's going to kick us off here on line one. David, good evening. What's happening?
How's it going?
We're hanging in, David. Go ahead. Go right on in.
Okay. Real simple. Okay. The D-line needs to be upgraded. The O-line needs to be upgraded. The quarterbacks, give him a B. But we don't have the talent. Simple as that. We don't have the talent. Right now. We can compete a little bit. That's about it. So he needs to get bigger guys on offense, on the offensive line, and bigger guys on the D-line. And when you get a blitz going, you got to cover every gap. Okay, you blitz, you cover every gap. You cover the A gap, B gap, C gap. I mean, you got to cover them. And the Miners didn't do that. They blitz and somebody didn't do their job. Lack of execution. And most of them are new.
I'm with you on that, David. And I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification before we get out to Brian, who's next, and then followed by Richard. We got a lot of phone calls to get to tonight. 915-505-6009. Let's pause 10 seconds. You're listening to Minor Talk, presented by Jack in the Box, right here, 600 ESPN El Paso.
Streaming worldwide through the 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. 600 ESPN El Paso is KROD El Paso, a Town Square Media station.
Back here, 915-505-6009. Brian is next up on the phone lines. Brian, good evening. Happy midnight to you, my friend. You just go right into it. Tell us your thoughts.
Yo, thanks, Adrian. To be honest, I was at the game. I was somewhere in like Section 8 and all that. Pretty good seating for a really bad game, to be honest, but if you ask me, it was atrocious on multiple sides, especially O-line. Quarterback play was all right, I guess. Defense was doing solid for the most part, but it got tired, you know. Eventually, that led to the final score of 41-21. But what worries me the most about this game is that how does this affect recruiting? Because my friends were mentioning this in a group chat we have, is that we may eventually lose some recruits who may decommit and go somewhere else, because why would they want to play here of all places? It's looking awful right now, and it's beginning to worry me a lot.
Are you worried? Are you telling me you're worried about future recruits or current players leaving as far as recruits on other teams? Like, where are you at, Brian?
I'm mainly talking about the future recruits and all, like class of 2025 for next season.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they've got a, you know, the good thing is they've got a lot of 2025 guys already committed. And I'm curious to see how many of those commits turn into early signees. I'll tell you this tonight, Brian, since you brought up the or opened up the can of worm of recruiting tonight, they had a lot of recruits on hand and I saw them. They're doing this every single game. But you're talking about a Thursday night where you're bringing a lot of people to the Sun Bowl and getting a chance to watch, you know, this UTEP football team for the first time. Yeah. First impression is everything. So good job, Brian. I appreciate the phone call. We got to keep moving. We've got a lot of phone calls to get to. 915-505-6009. If you've been trying to weigh in, trying to get in on the program, now is the time to do it. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next. Next up is Richard here on the phone lines. Richard, what's up? What's going on, man? You jump into this and give us your thoughts.
Hey, Adrian, thanks for having me on. First, I would like to address all of Minor Nation fans, no matter how poor the performance or how angry we may be with what we see on the field. I think online we should make sure that we maintain respect, and especially when referencing our coaches and especially their family members.
I know where you're going on that one, Richard. I'm with you. I'm 100% behind you on that. Let's be respectful.
Besides that, I went back after the game to Walden's conference when he got hired. One of the first things he pointed out was that this team was going to be dynamic, fun, and aggressive. I don't know how many times I saw bubble screens and running back players, like one after another in the same drive, and it stalled out. I think if I see another screen, I'm going to lose my mind. So hopefully next time around, we start pushing down the field more, kind of what we saw in the second half. I don't know why we waited until the blowout to do that. Maybe, you know, going forward, we improve. Something has been already talked about before. Skill positions definitely need some improvement. I was hoping that the players he brought in from Austin Peay would perform kind of what we expected them to, but it still seems that they're kind of playing at that FCS level. Shout out to the defense for showing up in the first half. J.J. Clark has been coaching his butt off. But also there is some improvement in there as well. Also, Corey Chapman, he's one of the transfers from Austin Peay that I've fallen in love with. He's been playing lights out. But also from returns, Westmoreland, he's kind of like a ghost right now. He had two tackles today, half of a sack in garbage time. I've been waiting to kind of hear him and see him. Nothing there. I still believe in the coaching staff. I love Walden. I think maybe it's just a mixture of the team just not being up to par, as well as him trying to find his flow and how he wants to lead this team. For the rest of the schedule, I am a little worried. I do see a scenario where we lose every game. I hope not. But I think maybe we edge out Kennesaw State. I think we beat NMSU and maybe Middle Tennessee. We'll see.
Okay, I got you down. Great phone call, man. I appreciate you, Richard. You're a knowledgeable UTEP fan. I appreciate your thoughts and your opinions, and thanks for weighing in on the program. Let's do it right now. I guess we got to start the Where is Mo segment right here, Sal. Where is Maurice Westmoreland going into this game? 8 solo tackles, and that's it. I mean, tonight, the half sack that he recorded was his first any kind of sack on the season, and Sal, he was a first team All-Conference USA individual who recorded 7.5 sacks last year and was just an absolute monster on that defensive line. But I pointed this out last year, and I'm going to point it out again this year, and I think I was good on this early on into the season. What Maurice Westmoreland was able to benefit off of last year was the double teams that were going Praise Amehule's way. And then this year, the double teams are going his way. So it's up to him to kind of go up against that and figure out how to shine, how to stand out.
Yeah.
And he just hasn't figured that out yet.
Not only that, but also, in my opinion, the scheme that they run on defense is not helping either. You're having, for majority of the game, 3 linemen, attacking basically a rushing monster, and anybody could get the ball back there for Sam Houston and do damage. So they need more hats in the box. I understand that phrase, but you got to have pillars, though, not just guys who are kind of floating around. We could see this a lot for the rest of the year if this is the defense that they run and if that's the personnel that they have. But you factor all – I say all this also knowing that Mo is the star on defense going into this year, and he's getting a lot of attention as well. So it's been really quiet. We see why. But still, though, you want to see some more production out of him if you're the leader on defense.
Next up is Memo, 915-505-6009. After him, it's Carlos and then Trolley Dodger, who's got to be fired up about Padres-Dodgers. I don't know if we're going to be talking that. I think we're going to have to stick to UTEP football here on the program. Memo, good evening, man. What's happening?
Hey, what's up? What's going on, guys? I'll jump straight into it. I feel like we've had one half of solid offensive football in five games. I think we had that Colorado State second half game, and that's about it. I think our defense played good this game. In the first half, I feel like they kept us inside the game. But besides that, there was zero offense. I don't think there was any offense in the first half. I think there were 70 yards of offense in the first half, and I think that's just 100% unacceptable. You know, everybody knows the Scotty offense and everything, the fast physical and all that. I think you got to slow it down. I don't think the fast thing is working. It's definitely not working. Slow it down. At least burn some clock, because it's just not working out. You're not resting your defense. You're putting your defense out there, and you're basically having to let your defense go win you games. I mean, they gave you 7 points today. We got 7 points off that tight end touchdown, and then we got 7 points on garbage time. So I think there's time for a change, and there's zero offense. So I know we talked about Skylar Locklear last week, and then now Kay McConnell, but guess what? Same result, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, and that probably tells you, Memo, and I appreciate the phone call, man. Great job. I appreciate you weighing in. I think this is like 3 or 4 weeks in a row for you, Memo, so you're already breaking your Minor Talk call streak. I love it right
gotta
here on the
program. Gotta keep it
going. Gotta keep it going. And the frustrations that he threw out there as far as the offense goes, and maybe saying that they hadn't had any successful offensive half except for that second half against Colorado State. I mean, Sal, what do you even take from that? Because they were playing catch-up in that matchup. They were trying to come from behind in that game. So in my eyes, I look at it right now, this offense is still without an identity, and it's still trying to really find its stride here going into game six next week.
Yeah, and there's only a handful of plays that are beyond 20 yards when it comes to this offense as well. Talk about the scheme that was brought in offensively with Coach Scotty Walden. You know, it was going to be fast, fearless, physical. We know that for all sides of the ball. That's what he mentioned. But haven't really seen much of it. And I know that one of the mottos is stacking days, but they got to stack plays, man. You got to play complimentary football. I know that the offense hasn't been that productive, but they got to at least help out when it comes to the other side and on special teams as well. I mean, your defense gets back-to-back sacks in the first quarter? An amazing play there. And then they mess it up on special teams, and next thing you know, it's a touchdown on the next drive not too long after that. So they definitely got to continue to execute, man, at a high level, and they're not doing that at all. And you pair that along with the talent discrepancy, ooh, boy.
Yeah, oh boy is right. 915-505-6009. Alberto, I'll throw you a hard question, okay? Skylar Locklear, if he's playing at quarterback, how different would this game be in your eyes?
You know, that's definitely a great question, but I was just thinking about along the same lines, is are they changing the playbook, you know, between that first that second half of the Colorado State game and this whole first game? Are they running a different playbook entirely, or is it the same plays? Because what we saw out of the Colorado State second half and what we saw in this whole game, especially in that first half where you get 70 yards of total offense, it looks like completely different, you know, two sides of a different coin. So I'm curious as to what happened, because there's a huge discrepancy, not let alone on the talent. It's just on those two halves of football, huge. And when you consider that you're playing your first half of football against Sam Houston, and you only put up 70 points at home, I mean, 70 yards at home. That's rough. So, there's a lot of work to be done. And look, those penalties, they worked against the Miners because they were always self-inflicted wounds on big plays, right? Holding calls that stemmed from what? The offensive line that needs a lot of help, right? So it's just a lot of work to be done yet.
Yeah, I'm with you on, completely. 915-505-6009. We got one phone line available. If you'd like to weigh in, now's the time to do it. 915-505-6009. Miner Talk is live. Hey, I want to give a big shout out to our great friends out at Jack in the Box. Hey, with 15 locations, they're open 24/7 here in El Paso and in Las Cruces. Jack in the Box is the perfect spot before and after every game. Back to the phone lines we go. It is Carlos who's next up with us. Carlos, good evening. Jump right into it. Give us your thoughts on this game.
Yeah, so obviously I'm going to second a lot of what the callers are saying before, and I'll kind of second what the previous caller just said. You know, I'm not a big believer in, like, a high-tempo offense. It's kind of similar to, I know I'm comparing college football to NFL football, but just allow me the analogy really quick. It reminds me of the Chip Kelly Philadelphia Eagles where, yeah, you know, like, it works. It can work. But when you want a high-tempo offense, what you're sacrificing is a little bit more of, I guess, diversity in what you can and cannot run. You know, that Philadelphia Eagles team, they're running a lot of curls, a lot of this, a lot of that. And it just seems like it's the same problems for this team, right? I mean, there's so many bubble screens, and I thought the offense, I think the picture or the video stretch of the offense tonight is, I think it was early third quarter or somewhere around that ballpark. Trey Goodwin just got blown up by that defense. They just put their hands on him, and that play got blown up for no yards, you know. So, I mean, I personally think they should slow it down a bit more, but again, I'm not a coach, and I'm just a fan. But also, shout out to Jolly for having a good game.
You know, Azel Jolly, it was a come-out party for him. And I tweeted this out, but I truly mean it. He plays football, and I kind of forgot that he's a good football player. Azel Jolly taking the reins at the running back spot and really showing what he could do. I mean, that run game has been non-existent. In fact, today was the first rushing touchdown by a running back on the season for the Miners. So, and again, it was in garbage time. Somebody said this earlier. I'll agree. Garbage time, yeah. Touchdown. Garbage time, Marcus Vinson, 52-yard touchdown as well. The true touchdown in my eyes was the Corey Chapman fumble recovery in the end zone where they score like that. But Sal, I mean, that's it right there. That's the only touchdown really the Miners score. The twos were in for Sam Houston. And then, that's all she wrote right there.
Yeah, and they were able to run the ball so well pretty much all night that when it came down to them having to run it just to burn out the clock, it was no issue at all. They were able to do that with relative ease, and the score could have been a lot worse if we're being honest here. Sam Houston did put their foot off the brakes, but even with their foot like halfway or foot off the brakes, with their foot, you know, kind of on that, so to speak, they still were able to have relative ease on moving the ball, so respect to that. But as far as the first running back to get a rushing touchdown this year, it's kind of alarming when coming into UTEP, the ratio was somewhere along the lines of like 65 to 35 rushing versus passing. And we're just not seeing that type of production. It's nowhere identical either. It's a complete 180 in terms of it for this UTEP team under Walden compared to his team with Austin Peay last year.
So rushing-wise, they rush it 34 times tonight for 119 yards. They throw it 29 times tonight for 204. But what you're seeing is really not as much production through the air and then not as much production on the ground. So what is that equal to? A bad offense. That's just the bottom line. And this team, one of the worst in the country in red zone scoring. And that's another thing tonight you look at. One of two tonight for the Miners scoring in the red zone. They fumbled it. It was a costly fumble. We praise Azel Jolly, but he did have a fumble in this matchup. That was one of UTEP's four turnovers in this game. And again, just not able to score points. Very disappointed in this offense thus far, five games into the season. I get it. It's a rebuild. I get it. It's a transition year, and you have new guys on, you know, from Austin Peay or new guys from different rosters all coming together on one. But it's just not where it needs to be right here going into the sixth game of the year next week against Western Kentucky. Back to the phone lines we go. Then we'll get reactions from George and reactions from Alberto off some of these phone calls. Trolley Dodger is next. And then we've got our old pal Keith from Winnipeg. So we've got some good calls to get to. 915-505-6009. If you've been waiting and trying to get in on the phone lines, now's the time to do it. Trolley Dodger, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Adrian? Sal, hey. Oh, otra vez. Again, bro. But anyways, it's a new coach. But I didn't expect this, bro. Like, I understand they got gashed for 39 yards in the first drive. Five plays? Okay. Whatever. It's not again. This is a new coach. We're not doing that. We're coming back. Second game, orale. But, and then on Chuco night, you know, so I'm throwing a little fuel. But here it comes, bro. Here it comes, man. We had them for five possessions. They didn't do anything. I think they went 75 yards on their first one. And after that, for like five possessions, I think they got like 29 or 30 yards, whatever. And we didn't do anything. We didn't kick it. I mean, we kicked it on offense, you know, like, hey, we're just going to chill. But, like, we didn't kick it, you know. We had them pinned in the one, like, the 12 penalties. Adrian.
I know.
Walden's first year. Okay, cool. You shouldn't have lost to Southern Utah. I'm going to talk about the fan perspective. I ended up blowing it up all off season to all my friends. It was, well, like two or three of them. One dude got his backyard fixed up. Today was the debut.
Oh.
Yeah, bro. Backyard, nice, looking good, cooking good.
On Chuco
night.
And
this is what we get, bro. This is what, the food was delicious, but the game was terrible, bro. The game was terrible, bro. And it's Scotty's, I still believe in this guy, because this guy is just as delusional as me. Like, he's 0-4, 0-5, and he's like, bro, I'm going to slay this conference. And it's like, what are you talking about? What? Are you serious? Okay. And I'm behind him. I'm the dude that's like, yeah, we are. Let's go. Bro, I may be different at the end of the season or in 3 years, but I believe in this dude, man. You can't be that crazy, bro. You can't be that crazy and still think.
Oh, man. Trolley Dodger. Thank you for the phone call. Thank you for the laughs over here. We're just having a great time just laughing. The pachanga was ruined, Sal. I mean, that was just the bottom line. George, he couldn't have the party like he wanted. Sal, what happened?
Oh, man. Well, there's two things that got cooked. One was the food that was back there, and unfortunately the miners got cooked out there tonight. But, hey, it's all about having fun. He went out there, enjoyed the backyard. That's what it's all about, man. Unfortunately, the results did not come out as expected. But when you take away the score and you have fun with your friends and your family, that's what life's all about.
And you have fun with us at 12.
Yeah, and he called us.
He called us at 12:19 in the morning.
Hold on. Did you hear the music in the background, too?
Not only the music. You hear the chihuahuas in the background, too. They're barking. They're yapping. I thought he was at my house. Like, I thought he heard my chihuahuas and
all
stuff.
Right. Over under on bedtime for Trolley, 2:59 a.m.
Yeah, I'm going over. This guy sounds like a 3:30 a.m. kind of guy right here.
I respect it too.
Good stuff, Trolley Dodger. I appreciate it. George, this is your first time with us here on Minor Talk, but you're getting indoctrinated just right.
Yeah, thanks, man. I'm really enjoying it so far, which is making up for watching the game. I do want to highlight some of the comments that, you know, our callers had. I'm tired of the bubble screens too, man. It's exhausting. I don't know why we're crutching Cade McConnell so much. The guy can throw it downfield. That pass to the tight end. I get it. It was in garbage time against the second stringers, but that was a nice touch pass that he had. I say, you know, take off the training wheels. Enough of this screen stuff. Enough of this tempo stuff. We don't have the personnel to be running tempo. Let's just play football.
You know, with what we've seen with Scotty Walden so far, I just don't think – I think some of the receivers are running the wrong routes. I think there was a lot of penalties that stopped drives. I thought that the offensive line just didn't execute at times. I thought the run game wasn't going. I thought also at times, like, they're doing too much, like the gadget stuff. Five guys on one side of the field, you know, the double pass where Trey Goodman is throwing into double coverage and then his pass is intercepted. I can go on and on, and Alberto, so that's just the frustrations right here. I think that a lot of people have with this offense right now that there's just not, like, you can't blame one thing. The one thing that the quarterback change taught us all here is that the quarterback change isn't a reflection of wins and losses. That's just the bottom line. Right now where this team is at, this team is not going to get a win or a loss just because of a good or bad quarterback play.
Yeah, no, quarterback play is not a deciding factor in that 0-5 record for the UTEP Miners. You're definitely right. But play call is definitely extremely frustrating. And look, I haven't heard anybody bring this up, but before garbage time, before all that, the UTEP Miners, the defense, comes up with a huge stop. On 4th-and-1, on the Sam Houston 49, Jay Ducker, he rushes up the middle for no gain. Turnover on down. UTEP gets the ball now on Sam Houston on the Sam Houston 49 with 7 minutes and 31 seconds left to play in the first quarter.
Early.
Yes. And on 1st-and-10, they give it to Trey Goodman, and he throws it into double coverage in an interception in the first quarter. And that was really, it confused me because it just didn't seem like the right time to throw up a trick play. It wasn't even a third down. It wasn't a fourth down yet. It, to me, didn't make sense. Inopportune. And that one, it was just not the right throw to make, I think. It was definitely into double coverage. And that's the one I'd love back for the Miners.
Yeah, I got you on that. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Well, he hasn't called yet all season long, but he is back. He is Keith all the way out in Winnipeg, who's joining us next on the phone lines. 915-505-6009. We've got one line available. Keith, long time no talk, man. How are you?
Well, I'm not too bad, really. I mean, away from the football, but when we're talking about football, it's 50-50. My Blue Bombers are dominating. We're going to go to the Grey Cup, I'm pretty sure, this year. And then my college team, UTEP, we haven't won a damn game yet. So I guess it depends on what day of the week you ask me how I'm doing.
Well, what about like on a Tuesday? Next Tuesday, I'll be able to ask you that question since UTEP plays on a Wednesday. So there you go.
It's also Friday right now, too.
There you go.
Yeah, technically it's a Friday, yeah. I don't even know what to say about this anymore, guys. I mean, I'm going to give Scotty Walden 2 years, okay? 2 years. I was impressed with his recruiting, actually, the players he brought in, and I'm still hopeful that of his class in 2025. I just don't think that we should have expected an undefeated season right now.
I'm not in that camp.
No, but here's the thing that really drives me crazy, though, is we just lost to Sam Houston. We didn't lose. We got beat bad, and Sam Houston is pretty darn good team. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, they were just in FCS, you know, a few years ago. I know that they won a championship like 3-4 years ago, but this is not how it should be. And I always say this, no matter whether it's basketball or football, El Paso deserves better, and we're not getting the better. And we've gone through coaches, we've gone through different athletic directors, we got through everything, and we're getting the same results. And so all I'm going to say this as a fan of the Miners is that I'm giving this era another year's chance. And I think we all should be hopeful because there is some positives away from the field. And I really mean the recruiting class. I mean, I spend a lot of time looking at UTEP recruits and I'm really hopeful. I mean, just today, one of the top recruits in my mind this year was Jalen Jones, and he registered a tackle today. Okay, so I saw
like
him on the field.
I like him.
Yeah, I like him a lot too, and I think he's a freshman. So I mean, give him another year, 2 years. This guy could be, you know, our impact defensive player. And I just think we have to give Coach Walden 2 full years, really 2 full years. And then we can throw all the crystal, but I'm really hopeful though. So yeah, we sucked this year bad. And I listened to the coach's presser. I think he wants to say more, but he realizes, and I believe it. I mean, I can be totally out to lunch. I think he believes the same thing I am. I think give us 2 years and he's going to have this program on the right track. We better be good when we get to the Mountain West.
I think that's a good mic drop right there, Keith. We better be good when we go to the Mountain West. That's what you just said right there. And I would agree. For UTEP, when they transition, I mean, all the excitement, all the hype, all this week, Sal, it can't all be for nothing, because you've got to actually back it up by winning. It can't just be UTEP taking itself for granted or taking this move for granted. They've got to find success, however that ends up being.
Exactly. We know that play starts in 2026, but prepare your team for now until 2026. We understand that this season is pretty much a wash. We don't know what the final results will be for wins and losses. Pretty sure people may have an idea, kind of in agreement with majority, but you got to prepare for that Mountain West Conference. So once you get in there, if you're playing in Mountain West like you did in Conference USA, that's going to be a real problem, because fans are excited about the Mountain West. But then when you get there, if you don't win, and we're not asking you to go undefeated, that's not exactly what we're saying. It's just be able to compete with Mountain West. Go ahead and go toe-to-toe with UNLV. Take on Wyoming. Go up against San Jose State. If people are upset with Sam Houston right now, just imagine how they're going to be if it's a 31-13 loss against San Jose State. It's going to be the same thing, just in a different time zone.
Yeah, same thing, different time zone. Good point. Good way of looking at it. The other, you know, he highlights Jalen Jones. I like Jalen Jones a lot. But you know who else I really like on this defense, who's also a true freshman on this team? Kyren Duhon. I think I need, yes, like the plaque for president of the Kyren Duhon Fan Club Award. He's been my favorite newcomer so far on defense. He is a true freshman out of Summer Creek out in East Texas, out of the Houston area. This guy's an absolute beast. When 33 is on the field, pay attention. On one single drive, he had 4 straight stops. That's right. On first down, second down, third down, and on fourth down. He had 4 straight stops. Like, who does that? Who does that in any level of football? Very impressive. I'm a big fan of Kyren Duhon. They just need consistency out of him. If they're able to keep him in the future, I mean, this guy could be a monster. Like, you talk about Jalen Jones and Kyren Duhon anchoring your defensive line. That smells success for the future for me. Back to the phone lines we go. Chuko is next. 915-505-6009. One phone line available. Chuko, good evening. What's happening?
Gentlemen, thanks for staying up so late.
Oh, man, we're about to fall asleep here, Chuko. You got to keep us up.
Well, you know, I'm a guy who sees the glass half full, so, you know, it's a building year. I we lost a lot of players and got a lot of new players. So I want to say that every game I see things that, you know, we can add to the next. And somehow I just truly think that, you know, Walden is just, you know, piecing these things together. And we may not see it as fans. I mean, we like want to see wins, but he's looking at it in a different way. And I just encourage everyone to just not lose hope. You know, things will get better, and in my opinion they will, but I get it. You know, losing sucks. But you know, just again, we just don't give up. This is a work in progress, and I truly believe we'll get there.
Okay, I got you, man. I appreciate the phone call, Chuko. Thanks for weighing in. Thanks for bringing some positivity here. You know what? Glass isn't all the way empty here. There's still a lot of coaching that needs to be done from this coaching staff. And I think the theme is give them time. Even Keith from Winnipeg, who called in pretty hot, he said, I'm giving them next year. I'm giving them until 2025 and see what happens after that. So I appreciate you, and Chuko. We'll keep it moving. 915-505-6009. We've got Andrew up next. Minetto on deck. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Next up, it's Andrew who's joining us here on the phone lines. Andrew, good evening, man. It's great to hear from you. Thanks for weighing in on the show. What's going on?
Yeah, no. So I just wanted to touch on a couple things. I will just be honest. I called in a couple weeks ago. I was the guy with the Scotty Walden hate phone call. Definitely a lot more calm now. I don't think we should fire him. I think he's our guy. I do think that we're running way too many bubble screens, way too many screens. And, I would like to see him maybe bring somebody in to help with play calling, bring in a veteran.
That's not
going to
happen. I'll stop you there, Andrew. That's not going to happen, but keep going.
Okay. That's kind of a thing. I don't think he has what it takes to call plays at this level. I really don't. I don't think he understands really what needs to be done. He tries to run bubble screens without ever pushing the ball downfield, simple things like that. Other thing, though, I will say he's a great recruiter and a great leader. I mean, I think I never played football. Would have loved to play for him, though. I will say his recruiting is great. And the guys we got coming in, we got some dogs, man. We have some dogs coming in. We're going to be all right. Scotty will be okay. Even though this is one of the worst losses I think I've ever seen as a UTEP fan and felt, me and people I went with, we made sure to sit there from the first snap to the last snap so that we can remember this when we, when we're running the Mountain West. So I just want to say thank you guys very much and good night.
Good night, Andrew. I appreciate your phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in on the program. 915-505-6009. Worst loss that you could ever see in person. Wow. That's interesting right there. I don't know if I could say that. I don't know if I could even, go there right there. I'd have to probably look, the 2002, the 2001 seasons, like those are awful for UTEP football. I'm going to try to look up some of the ones that maybe stand out to me, but those are the ones that I can remember off the top of my head. And yeah, I do remember a 2002, a 2-10 season. This is when I first started to watch UTEP football as a young kid. I would go to games with my dad and we would watch all the games, and I would always ask him, why is UTEP so bad, Dad? I mean, they were just awful, and that season they lost at one point. This was at home. Get this one, Sal. I don't know if you remember this one. I'm gonna go blast from the past. November 2nd of 2002, where were you when Boise State came to the Sun Bowl and destroyed UTEP 58-3? That was a 2002 home matchup, out of the whack. Speaking of conference changes and stuff like that, but the Miners were just atrocious, and they lost that one right there in a big, big fashion.
You know what? I wasn't at that game. I don't remember that, fortunately, because that would have just not been great for my health. But not even a calendar year later, I'll tell you where I was at. I was at the Sun Bowl on September 6, 2003, when the Miners took on Cal Poly.
Oh, no. That's a good one. That actually takes a cake.
So sad. I'm going to cut my mic off. I got to cry.
Okay, sounds good. let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. We got a bunch of comments to read. And then 600ESPNElPaso.com as well as we continue here on the program. That Cal Poly game. That's so true, man. That was a home loss, 34-13. What was worse, FCS loss? That one, Cal Poly, Northern Arizona, which was the first game of the Dana Dimble era, 2018. That was a 30-10 loss. Or the Southern Utah loss, the overtime loss, and how that ended up happening. What was it, 27-24? Yeah, it's an interesting thought right there. But that was a really bad game that Sal just brought up. Hey, I just want to remind everybody, we are live on YouTube. YouTube, live on Twitter, and live on Facebook, thanks to Inspo Lens. Inspo Lens is a media-driven source for video and documenting positive stories, education, and action for the good of our community and the people around us. Big shout out to Chris. Everything he does with Inspo Lens, check him out online, InspoLens.com. Check him out on all social media platforms as well. Just look up Inspo Lens and see all the great projects that they're working on here moving forward. Well, we've still got full phone lines. I'm trying to wrap this show up, but we're not stopping anytime soon. Let's keep it moving. Mineto is next.
Real quick, I just want to throw in something, Adrian. That season that they lost at Cal Poly, 34-13, guess who they beat 3 weeks later?
Sam Houston?
That's right.
There you go.
59-14.
Okay, good stat right there. Hey, tonight was also the first night UTEP lost to Sam Houston in their history. They've never actually lost a game to Sam Houston. Tonight was the first night. And yeah, you know, somebody said it earlier, but that Sam Houston State team is probably, you know, a pretty good team. And they probably, as far as, you know, program-wise, they've surpassed UTEP right now this season in terms of where they're at. And, hey, they might be headed to a bowl game if they continue to play like this. Next up is Mineto. Then we're going to go to Andrew and then Ron, who's joining us. So we got three phone calls to get to. First up is Mineto. Mineto, good evening, man. Thanks for weighing in on the program. Give us your thoughts after this one.
Well, good morning to you guys. I think for anything I want to say is the coach has a lot of things that he needs to fix. You know, definitely I was looking at all the penalties. Those numbers went up. Five drop passes, you know, killing drives. The receivers aren't doing what they need to do, and it's catch the ball. I mean, they're taking some big hits, too. Defense is, I mean, lights out. There's no question about it. I just hope, you know, I hope that Mr. Walden is not in over his head. You know, and I know how you guys and all of us, you know, need to speak a little, not meanish, but right now what we're seeing is he's got a lot of fixing to do, and if he can fix, you know, his offense, you know, the calls that he's making, kind of like a Dimmel nightmare again. But if he can, his penalties can be kept down, turnovers, personal fouls, you know, discipline. You know, we're looking at maybe three and a half years before we get it going. And just want to let you guys know is I'm behind them. It's just, you know, sometimes, you know, whatever he's doing, I heard the interview with Teicher, and I'm sure that, you know, he even at times doesn't even know what to say anymore. But you guys have a good rest of your night, and, you know, we hope, we do want Walden to succeed because, you know, UTEP can be a career killer.
Okay, wait, real quick, before we leave, Mineto, what's your tips and tricks and advice for people who need to do some funny editing on Twitter and X for photos? You're like the king of all these different memes, my friend.
No, I know that, I want to say the Bunch is the one who did a lot of that stuff for me.
Poncho. Yeah, our pal.
He did, so I'm not going to take credit, but those were from back, like, and we're talking like 2016 and stuff like that. So I'm bringing back some old school stuff.
Okay. All right. Mineto bringing back the old school stuff and the old school memes. I appreciate it. As we continue here on the program, I appreciate his thoughts as well. Thanks again, Mineto. I appreciate you weighing in on the program and hanging out with us early into the morning hours as we continue. 915-505-6009. We had an earlier Andrew. Now we've got another Andrew here with us. We also have got Ron who's going to join us as well. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. We also freed up a phone line, so if anybody who wants to weigh in, now is the time to do it. 915-505-6009. Andrew, what's going on? We're almost 20 minutes until 1 a.m. here. Andrew, what's going on?
What's going on, man? Hey, first of all, thank you guys for doing this, for giving us a platform to speak our minds and give our opinions, especially late hours into the night. You guys have probably had a really long day, so I really appreciate that. But secondly, I just want to say, big shout out to the Miners defense. You know, first half, it felt like every time the bell was rang and they had to get up and answer the call, they did it every single time. You know, they kept us in that game. It was 7-0 until I think maybe it was 14-0, 17-0 going into the half. And credit to our defense, you know, just I was keeping track, and Binder's offensive drive were probably about a minute long with, you know, how quick we were. The defense would, you know, make a stop, and then they had about a minute to rest. Then they had to come back, answer the bell again, and they kept doing it every single time. And, man, that was honestly inspiring to see, because I know how exhausting it can be to do that, especially, you know, you're giving it your best. And, you know, respect to them for that. As far as offense goes, man, it's frustrating. It was very frustrating seeing that. I had a lot of hope after last week. Maybe we caught, or 2 weeks ago, maybe we caught Colorado State off of their, you know, on their heels, bringing in Cade. They weren't really expecting that. And that's why we look so good against them. But this was shocking, in my honest opinion. I like Cade, but I think he looked really bad tonight. And I don't know if a lot of it had to do with the play calls, or maybe I saw a play in the end zone. He got knocked down, hit his head. He looked banged up. And then that's when he ran like a QB drive. And it was just weird. It was just like, well, what's going on? And, you know, just embarrassing, just embarrassing on offense. But I'm not really sure. I was thinking about this, and I was talking with some people, and I'm sorry for being so long winded, but, I was thinking, like, how many teams that are successful do you see run this type of offense where it's so quick? I don't really see a lot on any level, and maybe you guys have an answer to that I don't, but, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't really have a good answer to that one, Andrew. I appreciate the phone call. You weren't being long-winded. I appreciate your thoughts, and I appreciate your conversations with friends. I don't know what success looks like in this offense. I haven't really seen it. I really don't know what the identity is. So when you ask me, have you seen anybody successful with this kind of offense, what is this kind of offense? I still don't really know. Do they favor the pass more? Do they go run-based? Are they a balanced offense and a balanced attack? I don't know. I don't think they know, and I think the identity issue is the biggest issue on my side for that offense. You talk about Cade, and my thoughts about Cade, you know, maybe it's like a C average or a C minus, but to put all this on Cade, I'd give the receivers an F, and I'd give the offensive line also an F. I mean, five drops that were recorded by different receivers, that's inexcusable. I mean, I'm not saying the passes were necessarily right in the chest, but it felt pretty close to it, and I felt like the receivers let a lot of these drives down. You know, you also talk about that offensive front. It wasn't just the inabilities to protect up front, but it was also the pre-snap penalties, the holding calls that just kept going over and over with that right tackle position that's really not solidified for UTEP right now. Azeezy Henry making you know, his first start of the season. So a lot of things changing on that offensive front. Those two position groups I would give F's to. If I would tell you my favorite position group, it's probably the running back. But again, that's Azel Jolly in really what was an out of reach game at that point in the second half. So that's how I look at it right there. 915-505-6009. Sam Houston defeats UTEP 41-21. We still have full phone lines. We still somehow have people who want to talk a little UTEP football. Let's keep it moving. Ron is next up with us. Ron, good evening, man. You just jump into it. Give us your thoughts.
Okay, good morning. I hear all these people griping, you know, too many this, too many that, too many this, too many that. You know, and they're talking to yourself and whoever your cohort or you know, and that's like talking to a wall. I mean, if they have a gripe about this is not working, they should do this, I think they should call the coach directly and ask for an appointment and tell him what he's doing wrong. I mean, right to his face instead of on a telephone for him. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me whatsoever.
Well, but hey, Ron, my friend, Ron, real quick, this is Minor Talk. Well, of course, everybody's going to play Monday morning quarterback and pretend like they have all the answers. This is what this show is about. There's also a weekly press conference where a lot of these questions are asked to the coach, and there's also a weekly radio show where fans can actually go in person and ask questions mm-hmm. directly. So to your point, you're exactly right, Ron. I mean, fans can go right up to coach and give them their thoughts to his face.
I go to the show at the Border City Ale House.
Nice.
And there's nobody there. I mean, it's myself and three or four other people. And, I mean, that's the forum where if you want to make a change in something, you go directly to the, you know, you go to the head of the person and tell, you know, well, center's not there, but you could make an appointment with Mr. Center and say, look, I think you guys need to do this. You know, he can tell you, okay, thank you and goodbye, or he doesn't have to listen to you, just tell you to leave. But, you know, I understand that this is a show and this is what it's about. But you have people also, like I think the young man or the older gentleman, his name was Trolley, he's sitting at his house drinking a beverage of whatever his choice is and having fajitas or whatever they're having for dinner. And, you know, yeah, if you can do that at your house, why don't you put that money into buying a season ticket and you can improve the team by doing, a dollar a day or whatever, you know, things of this nature.
You know, it's a fair point, Ron. It's a fair point. Keep going. Do you have any other thoughts tonight for football?
No, I just think, you know, it just frustrates me to hear the same thing over. And, you know, I'm sure that the coach hears this stuff. And not only does the coach, because I know, because I went to the game in Nebraska, and I was talking to Skyler at that time and his father, and they listen to the radio. They know exactly what El Paso feels about them. And, you know, when you start, after a while, you start hurting these kids. Instead of trying to do something good for them, you're actually reversing the order. And that's all I had to say. Not much, you know, that's it.
All right, I got you, Ron. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for weighing in on the program. 915-505-6009. I'll say this, as far as fan comments go, yeah, there are definitely fan comments that always cross the line. Like what Ron's saying right there, I could see that for sure. On this show, we try to be fair. And on this show, you know, we're pretty partial on both sides. You know, we even brought up a lot of Skyler talk today. And last week in the Colorado State game, we were saying it there too. It wasn't all just Skyler Locklear that, you know, had like the inefficiencies. Today we said it again. It wasn't just Skyler Locklear that had problems, and you make a quarterback change and then you have you have similar result with a different quarterback in Cade McConnell. There's obviously more to the problem here. There's more issues going on here. As far as, you know, players, you know, upset or anything like that, I mean, you could be upset at social media. You could be upset at us or whatever, you know, if you really wanted to. But I would just say this. What we're trying to do is give this platform to people, which we've done for what, the last 5 years, 6 years here. Nothing's really changed. Our recipe has always been the same, Sal. So you either love us, you hate us, you listen to us, you don't listen to us. That's our platform right there.
Yeah, and we're going to hear it all regardless. I mean, when they win, you know, we'll give them the credit. When they lose, we'll point out, hey, X, Y, Z, whatever, this play, that play, it definitely didn't help. But also, too, we've been, I don't want to say called out because I don't believe them, but they've said that, hey, we're being too nice on them when they're losing. But then
yes,
when they're losing, we call out inefficiencies. You guys need to be nice. You're hurting their mental health. It has nothing to do with it.
I'll also say this. It's not our first rodeo. We've had parents call in. We've had opposing team fans call in. We've had it all. And I think every year we've had at least one parent call in. And I think parents usually call in upset at us. They're not necessarily calling in happy. They're calling in upset at Minor Talk because of something that we said. And we're cool with it. You know what? That's what this platform is. If you have something to call us out on, call us out. Let's do it. Let's bring bring it.
And I'll say this, too, because I know that what I said right now was kind of like, eh, come on, Sal. But one thing I do want to stress, and if I could stress this more than anything else, we keep it sports related on it all. So
yeah, there's nothing personal.
All the stuff that's on Twitter, we know that there was some there was a tweet out there that I don't want to say went viral, but got a lot of attention for a lot of wrong reasons. We don't stand for that stuff. So things like that, and when it comes to personal attacks, we're not going to go that route. But if you have a bad day on the field or on basketball, if there's a bad day on the court, I mean, it's going to be called out. But when you have a good day, we're going to call it out too and praise it.
Do we know that the coaches listen? Of course we do. There we go. Let's keep it moving. The mayor is next. 915-505-6009. The mayor, Eddie Morelos, is joining us next. Eddie, what's happening, man?
Good morning, gentlemen, as we approach 1 a.m.
Are you home yet? Did you make it home safe?
I am home. I got your wonderful faces on the YouTube channel here. And so shout out to all you guys looking lively there in the studio. Really quick comment on the whole fan situation. Do we not live in America anymore where we can't voice our opinions, especially about sports? I mean,
you know, to just say what Ron's saying, he's not the only person who's told us this before, who's called in frustrated and who's gotten mad at us. And I appreciate and I know what you're saying there, Eddie. You're on our side too. You're warrior. I'm just saying, like, this is what it's all for, right? The forum of us getting a chance to talk here on Minor Talk, and maybe there's some opinions that aren't as educated or aren't as well thought out, or maybe a little silly. But that's the point of Minor Talk. We've got it all.
Well, and that's the thing, as fans, you know, we get to make our choices in America to cheer how we please, and some are inappropriate, yes. But moving on, tonight's game, I was hopeful as a Las Cruces. I was hopeful, and once again, what I saw, you know, in the third quarter in particular was a little disappointing. My partner there helping me out as we were working the game says, you know, they're running out of gas. They're wearing them out. And you could, once he said that, I noticed it, Adrian. It was in the third quarter. And it was just extremely noticeable because, and it was so disappointing because I thought that, you know, this team in particular, this minor team, was supposed to be, you know, at least fit and physically fit to last the whole game. But they were drained in the middle of the third. And it was very noticeable. And then it was a long game, almost 4 hours long. So there in the fourth quarter, I told my buddy there, I said, hey, watch. They're going to run the ball, and we're going to get down to about 3 minutes left. We'll be okay. We'll get home by midnight. Sure enough, that's how it went down. They had a chance there, the fumble in the end zone. They didn't take opportunity with that. They did score, of course. You know, they got the score of 14-7. That's where I felt, wow, they're in the game. They're in the game. They could make it a game, but didn't take advantage. Ball game. Sam Houston dominating Conference USA, 5-1 on the year. They'll be bowl bound. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll have any bowl teams out of the borderland this year.
No, I don't either, Eddie. And I'll ask you this, just since this is the first time you're calling this season for football on Minor Talk, but you're a loyal listener of ours, you're a loyal supporter of ours, and we appreciate that. Who wins? If you had a crystal ball prediction, who wins Aggies Miners end of the year for a battle that might be for maybe that first FBS win for both teams?
You are really putting me on the spot like this. And
yes, you've seen both these teams.
Yeah, you know what? It's cool that you do, right? Because you guys just talked about how if you guys say something, people, you know, call you out, and you guys call people out back and forth, right? Okay, call me out. Here we go. This is how it's going to go down. I talked to you a little bit about it earlier. And I said it was going to be a certain fight of the week. And I said the weaknesses are at the line for both offense and defense. It's going to come down to who makes the fewest mistakes on the field. And I believe that it will be the Aggies. And they'll pick up the victory on the road somehow or another. And, yeah, that's my call right there.
Good stuff, Eddie. I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. And it's great to hear from you. Haven't heard from you in a while, but we got to see you today. You look great. And appreciate seeing your face, seeing your smile, seeing you laugh, and hearing you on Minor Talk. So good stuff there, Eddie, as we continue. 915-505-6009. All right, I'll leave the mics hot for everybody. We've burned through all the calls right now. Let's just let's wind things down by giving out all the tweets that have come in our way here on the program. And if you guys want to react, just jump in, okay? First off, Tristan Pence checking in on the program. Not much to say about this game. The Miners' offensive and defensive lines are not just getting the job done. The Miners have lost 7 straight games at home, 9 games in a row overall. UTEP's last 6 games are against bad teams, thus there is hope for a couple of wins. King Eric, well, that was kind of embarrassing. This is Herman Flores. No discipline. The 12 penalties are unacceptable. Manny David, another tough loss to watch. Not giving up on this team nor the coaching staff. I still expect a long season with few wins, if any. Hashtag trust the process. Hashtag Minor Talk. Mr. Rod 33-37-38. I was at the game. Too many penalties, too many drops by receivers that were killing drives. Coach Walden tried to get too cute with that trick play in the first half. Jolly was a nice surprise, though. That kid has vision. Defense did all they could for as long as they could in this game. Pooh Bear at Devious. I was afraid that Scotty's use of D2 players from Austin Peay would not be a good approach. I wonder if this coaching staff will put some emphasis to bring in some D1 JUCO players to beef up the team a bit more next year. Esteban, disgusting game. The Mountain West must be squirming with buyer's remorse. Noah Guerrero, gotta love Minor Talk after dark. Emotion, or he said addition. Impressed with tonight's attendance. Impressed with Sam Houston, who will beat Liberty to win the conference. They are legit. Miners will grab a few wins here down the stretch. Keep supporting. Noah, that crowd was 14,000 and change. Guys, it looked really bad on TV, but in person really wasn't that bad. I'll say that. Alberto, you were on the field. What did you think?
No. Look, when the seats filled out, it was a great environment, a good amount of people there, 14,000 for where this program's at. It looked pretty full. Look, just to feed off what Eddie said, in that third quarter alone, yeah, things really caught up for the Miners. Look, in the third quarter alone, the Sam Houston Bearcats scored 21 points, 200 yards of offense. On 9 rushing attempts, they pick up 100 yards and 101 yards on 7 passing attempts. On 7 catches. So I don't know what happened in that locker room in the half, but it did not work, right?
Well, it didn't translate to any kind of success on the field. What ended up happening.
They put up 21 points on you. You go out there, you score 7 points. You do have 178 yards of offense, but that only translates to 7 points, and you're down big at that point. Through the third quarter, the score's 38-14, and it's very much out of reach at that point. So, yeah, the way you're setting these games up and playing them, it's rough for you. So things need to change.
UTEP Mineto with a good point. I feel for the head coach. He has a lot to figure out. Nonetheless, he doesn't care what anyone outside of UTEP says. All that matters is what people at UTEP say. I wish him success. A lot of people do. Hashtag Minor Talk. Adios. This checking in from Pinky. As I was driving back from out of town, I was listening to the game on the app. My question is, why is the stadium background so loud? Band, music, cheerleaders, fans. At times, you can't understand what the announcers are saying. Just asking. Hashtag Minor Talk. I'm not too sure about that one, but a good question, Pinky. We'll keep it going. Ron, who called out Trolley Dodger, Trolley Dodger responded right now and said, "Ron, you are wrong." Hashtag Minor Talk. Is he wrong about the cervezas? Is he wrong about the fajitas? What is he wrong about there, Ron? Trolley Dodger, because Ron was pretty spot on with that call. Other than the fact that he was just kind of questioning a little bit of the format of Minor Talk. talk other than that. But good stuff, guys. 915-505-6009 as we wind it down here on the program. Guys, I think we should just get some final thoughts. We should wrap this one up. No need to continue on this one. We've pretty much said all we needed to right here. I'll just say this. For the Miners next week, they turn the page. They got Western Kentucky on the road. This is a team I'd also consider top three in CUSA. And that means UTEP will have already played all the top three teams in Conference USA up to next week's point. Bowling Green, Kentucky, Sal, this team's not ready to win at home. What makes anyone think that this team can win on the road?
No, that's a hard one, especially looking at what Western Kentucky's done this year. Just to give you some context, over the weekend I was making my son some breakfast or brunch. It was fun. We were having a great time. Put the laptop near the table as I'm cooking, and oh wow, Western Kentucky has a lead against Boston College. Eventually they would lose by 121-120, but that's who they're going up against. Their only losses are to teams from P4 conferences. Number 5 Alabama, but who doesn't lose to them? It was a 63-0 loss in the first game of the year, and then a 21-20 loss to BC this past weekend. But they shut out Eastern Kentucky, but that's big news because it is a FCS team that they did beat. While UTEP hasn't beaten the FCS team that was on their schedule, they beat Middle Tennessee, their rival, doubled up on them pretty much, more than double, 49-21. And then they beat a known team out of the MAC, being Toledo, 26-21, the week before last. So this is a team that can get it done. And as far as home games go, they're undefeated as well, 2-0 with wins over Eastern and Toledo.
Yeah, I like this. Western Kentucky team. In fact, if I had to pick a team to knock off Liberty, I'm probably going them. I'm going Western Kentucky. I like their quarterback. I like Elijah Young. He's their dynamic running back. So let's see what UTEP can do. It's a road game. It's Bowling Green next week, and UTEP loses a day. Think about it. It's a Thursday game. It is a Thursday game. They don't lose a game, or they don't lose a day. It is a 6 o'clock kickoff out in Bowling Green, Kentucky. So we'll have it for you, 600 ESPN El Paso next week. And then they go to the Wednesday game, and then they go to the Tuesday game. So then it gets a little wonky as far as Conference USA weeknight matchups. Alberto, George, final thoughts here tonight. UTEP loses 41-21. Who wants to start off? Who's jumping in? Just go in.
I'll go first. Yeah, Bowling Green, that trip's not an easy one. And that one, according to the UTEP Miners football schedule on their website, is on ESPN The U. And then the following three games are on CBS Sports Network. So you take that as whatever you want it to be worth. So a bunch of nationally televised games for the Miners in a couple of rough situations. One on November 2nd at home against Middle Tennessee. How many people do you think you're going to get there, especially after what happened today against Sam Houston, a team you beat last year, right, with a coach that your fan base really disliked but pushed for you to get rid of. That team last year beat them, and you couldn't beat them this year. And where does that put you in with your fans, right? That's something you have to address. So, if the penalties don't cut back, I think that's something that is going to really kill the Miners. So it'll be interesting to see where they go from here.
Before I get to you, George, Brandon Lewis checking in. A UTEP fan from Winnipeg? Wow. That's right. Keith is from Winnipeg, and he checks in all the time. Christopher Carrillo, appreciate you tuning in on our YouTube channel. He said, Walden has 2 years to rebuild this program because once they get to the Mountain West, it is go time. Brandon also checked in by saying, I'm hoping they can win at least three games. Sun Bowl needs some big games this year. George, wrap us up. Give us your final thoughts here tonight. UTEP, a 20-point loss tonight.
Yeah, so I just I forgot which caller it was that highlighted, you know, the average drive length in as far as time. So I went ahead and I did the math. And so UTEP had 15 drives that spanned 1,483 seconds. So that's an average drive time of 1 minute and 38 seconds.
That's a great stat.
That's garbage. That's three and out. Pretty much every time.
So, okay, so I've got another, okay, on that right there. Average time of possession, we're talking about 1 minute and 37 seconds.
Per drive.
Two scoring drives. That means they scored in 13% of their drives here tonight. They had two drives that went 70-plus yards. Only two drives that went that far.
Right.
They had four drives that were a minute or less, and they had four three and outs. So, tough night tonight for that UTEP offense.
Night. for that offense. And I want to highlight Alberto's point about, you know, the schedule coming up. Now is it's tough because now you have back-to-back weeks of short, you know, you get you lose a day. You get, yeah, next Thursday you get the week, and then Wednesday you lose a day, and then Tuesday you lose a day. So it's going to be a gauntlet, man. They're going to have to figure it out.
And even if they do soften up their schedule a little bit with teams like Florida International and teams like La Tech and teams like Middle Tennessee, who's to say they go out and have success against those? It's just going to be an uphill battle here for this minor squad, and let's see what they could do here. Hey, let's do this. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification, then my final words here. We'll wrap it up next on Minor Talk, presented by Jack in the Box.
From hometown to national. ESPN El Paso is KROT El Paso, a Town Square Media station.
Sam Houston defeats UTEP 41-21. My final thoughts here on the program are as follows. The penalties are unacceptable. The offense needs an identity, and the defense can only hold up for so much. This roster right now isn't what, you know, I think that other fans maybe thought to go into the season, but it is not to say that this coaching staff should be written off. I like the young talent. I like some of the newcomers who are coming into the system in 2025. So for me, sky's not falling. I've maintained this. You've got a lot of talent here in the future at UTEP, and I think that's a good thing if you're a UTEP fan. So let's see what happens here. I don't think it's this year. I think this year will continue to bring frustrations, and I think what UTEP fans are hoping is all the frustrations start to get rectified and you start to minimize some of those poor moves, poor decisions, whatever you want to call them here in the future. So 20-point loss tonight is how we'll remember this one right here. At one point, this one was 38-7. I thought it was going to be one of the toughest losses that we would see in UTEP home history against a conference opponent. That it didn't end up being the case. Miners got some garbage time touchdowns to make this look a little better than it actually was. But that's how it ends up here on the program today. Miners are winless, 0-5. Basketball season is, 4 weeks away. So that's something that we can look forward to. And, let's see what happens here. Miners have Western Kentucky next week. Sal, appreciate you and all you do, man.
Awesome. No, it was good to be back. And let's see what happens next Thursday. Another game for the Miners to get a shot at it.
Yeah, and special thanks to Inspo Lens, Chris, broadcasting our entire stream on our YouTube feed. One day we got to just bring Chris on the mic and just get all his thoughts. And I think he's going to sound off on everything for UTEP here in the future. But I'm very appreciative of him, very appreciative of everybody chiming in on YouTube, on Twitter and X, and on Facebook as well. Special thanks to Alberto Reto. Special thanks to George Guardado, and I'm Adrian Broaddus. We are signing off tonight. We're presented by Jack in the Box. Special thanks to the District Pub and Kitchen, the Oscarati at the Agency, of course, New Start Homes El Paso, and Wind Supply El Paso as well. For everybody here in our River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, we are signing off, and thank you so much for listening to Minor Talk here on 600 ESPN El Paso.
This is Steve Kaplowitz, and 600 ESPN El Paso has a great way.